Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
We've just come out of a lockdown. Up until the 4th of December, and of course the inter-county travel was only lifted on the 18th. So we've only got to, recently, only the last week or so, we've got to, you know, go from Dublin to Kildare or whatever it happens to be, to even have a hotel break or something like that, to behave like human beings just for a short, brief period. And all of a sudden we're going back into another lockdown again, because seemingly the last one didn't work, didn't make much difference. Who was it famously said? Albert Einstein famously said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results every time. The government have now said 727 new cases were reported last evening, as 241 people remain in hospital with COVID-19. Now, I want to stress, by the way, the word with, because I know somebody who works in a hospital, and they've told me this. Although the HSE won't give us an answer, we've requested the answer on numerous occasions as to how many people out of the 241 with COVID-19 are actually in hospital because of COVID-19, or are they in hospital for another reason and just happened to test positive. We won't get an answer to that question. Sadly, it seems that, yes, certain people do die. It is there's no doubt there is a virus out there. I'm not a COVID denier. But to suggest that every death that we're hearing are people who have died explicitly from COVID-19 would be bizarre, because that's not the case at all. Sadly, people are dying with COVID-19 who would have died, sadly, might have been at the end of life. Anyway, the point is, keeping locking down society constantly, putting people into poverty, despair. We don't know the suicide rates for this year because they haven't been calculated yet by the CSO, but I'm sure we'll get that next year. It doesn't look like they're too much up, but certainly there are people who have taken their lives in this country out of despair. Not only that, people will lose their jobs, their futures, their careers, their businesses. And the people this mainly affects are those in the private sector. And of course, the hospitality industry have been hit the hardest of any. And as we spoke to the LVA last week, and they told us that this, at this stage, was becoming mental torture for the people in the hospitality sector. When you consider, when you look at the actual results put out by NPHET last week up until the 28th of the 11th, 2020, the hospitality sector are actually the least guilty when it comes to outbreaks and cases. The majority of cases happen in private homes, other healthcare facilities, residential institutions and nursing homes. So the point is, do you agree with these restrictions? Are you one of those people who believes it's in the interest of public health and yes, bring it on? Or do you disagree with it and think at this stage it's just becoming torturous as human beings to keep continuing with this lack of social interaction? Adrian Cummins, by the way, is just after saying that he will close at 3 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and this will be reviewed on the 12th of January. This is Adrian Cummins, of course, from the Hotel Federation, as far as I know. All right, Restaurant Federation. Let me just go to, if I can, Leader of AIN2 Ireland, Pather Tobin, joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you, Pather.
Good afternoon to you.
Pather, there's a few things to talk about here. Firstly, there's been complete and utter confusion over the last 2 or 3 days over the new strain, inverted commas, even though there's no evidence of a new strain as such, as more of a correlation with increases in cases in the southeast of England. Then you had NPHET making comments, and, you know, I mean, this happens every time. NPHET leaks information out or puts information out, who, by the way, are the government body who are given the task of looking after our health rather than the social issues in society. I mean, is this a problem whereby NPHET throw out one thing and the government come back and say, well, we'll have a look at that and then we'll make an announcement. And in the interim for that 2 or 3 days, there's pandemonium. Is this a problem?
Yes, it is. You have, NPHET is an arm of the state. The government is an arm of the state. On Sunday last, the government were telling people it is okay to go to restaurants and to go to gastropubs if you're careful and if those establishments are run properly. On the same day, NPHET were saying to people, it's not okay that you go to pubs or gas or to restaurants. Stay at home. Don't go to these establishments. And they've been saying the same thing for the last couple of days. So it does not make sense at all.
We also had the issue, of course, that the government, although advising people not to come home for Christmas, were allowing people to come home for Christmas, provided they isolated, etc., etc. Whereas NPHET were telling people emphatically, no, you shouldn't come home. So there seems to be a rift. Is there a rift between government and NPHET?
Well, it's funny because NPHET is a child of the government. The government have created NPHET to advise the government in what direction it should take. And so it's an advisory body. The decisions are meant to be made by the elected representatives of the country. But that really isn't what has been happening, because I suppose NPHET has been operating pretty much independently of government over the last number
of
years.
Well, they seem to be in charge, it seems, now.
Well, they do. I believe that NPHET is the most powerful organisation in the country at the moment. And if you're a TD, if you're an elected representative of the people and you want to ask NPHET questions currently, you have to go to a journalist, give the journalist the question, and ask the journalist to ask NPHET the question, so that we can get to the heart of things. Because we don't get a chance to ask NPHET questions or to tease
they
issues
seem,
out.
I mean, they do seem to be answerable to nobody.
Oh, it's an incredible situation. And I believe that, you know, probably if you were to speak to government ministers at the moment, they probably regret the system that they've created, but they can't reverse it now. Because if they were
Did try to stick in a kind of subcommittee in between NPHET and the government. But we haven't heard very much about that.
No, because in the end of the day, as long as NPHET speak to journalists before they speak to the government, that means NPHET is setting the agenda and the government is simply following up. And, you know, like, as a result, we have this confusion that's currently here. So literally a couple of days after the doors are open on many of these establishments, NPHET is telling people not to go into these establishments. Now, the worry I have in all of this is that the government have taken a phenomenally, what I would say, over-aggressive approach to this particular illness. This is an illness, as you said at the start of your piece. And, you know, people are dying from this illness. And I do understand how certain individuals have a very low tolerance with regards any level of risk in this, because some people individually are not in good health, or some people have many family members who are not in good health, and as a result are very, very cautious with regards this mm-hmm. particular illness. But if you look at the country, there's about a third of the population whose income has probably increased over this period of time.
Well, the public sector have not been financially affected. By the way, they can't go on holidays, or they obviously have to adhere to restrictions like cinemas and restaurants like everybody else.
Sure.
But they're not, their jobs, their futures are not in jeopardy. They haven't been financially affected, the public sector. Then you also have pensioners who won't be financially affected by it. You also have the unemployed who won't be financially affected by it, apart from the fact that it's more difficult to get a job. But in saying that, the ones that were really being affected badly by this are the private sector, and those with their own businesses, those who work in the private sector, retail, everything else. They're the ones being hit hard.
So the whole idea of we're in this together, it has been rubbish from the start. We're not. Actually, a section of society have increased their savings to record levels since this particular illness has come about. But you're right, there's about a third of the population who are phenomenally exposed and have been radically wiped out by this particular illness, whose incomes have fallen about 90% due to the restrictions over the last 9 to 10 months. And, you know, it is very, very difficult on those individuals. And during the summer, the government said that they were going to live with this illness. And I understood that there was going to be a certain level of restriction, but also a certain level of toleration of risk.
Well to me, living with a virus, and there's no doubt there's a virus, but living with a virus is washing your hands, wear your mask if we have to in public places until we get rid of this virus, and then hopefully then get back to some level of normality in relation to that. You know, social distancing to some degree, obviously, where we can and where we can't. And obviously large, you know, gatherings have to be restricted until a such time. That's living with a virus. You know, destroying business, locking everybody down and telling people they can't meet their, you know, their best friend, to me is not living with a virus. That's going against human nature.
It's particularly strict, and if you look at the stats internationally, Ireland is the sixth most restricted country in the whole world, probably the most restricted country in Europe. Now, we do have the second lowest level of the illness in Europe, only beaten by Iceland, which is obviously hasn't got the same level of demographic.
Well, it's a very isolated country anyway.
Exactly. So the population.
Okay, but Tony Holohan. I mean, Patter. Tony Holohan. Obviously, his words yesterday frightened a lot of people because he talked about the increasing weekly average, 727 new cases. Thankfully, no deaths last night. And the death rate doesn't seem to be connected to the case numbers, because if we look back over time, you know, when case numbers go up, deaths don't really go up as well. And I know there's a 2-week lag between the two, so they don't seem to really correlate. And a lot of people are suggesting this is a natural curve, et cetera, et cetera, and that case numbers really shouldn't be what we're dictating public policy on. We should be dictating public policy on how we deal with this in our health service. And our health service is not overwhelmed.
It's not overwhelmed. And actually, the WHO, which is very cautious on this, have stated that Lockdowns should only be brought into place where there's a likelihood that the health service is going to be overwhelmed. And if you look at the ICU figures, thankfully they have been tipping around 30 for the last 4 months now.
Which is lower, by the way, to point out, is lower than we've had probably for the last 5 years when it comes to respiratory diseases, including influenza, pneumonia, etc., etc.
And also you have a situation where the government hasn't even brought into place its escalation level. So it's able to bring about another 150 beds, ICU beds, into play if it needs to. So we're nowhere near being overwhelmed whatsoever.
Okay, so today's decision, we all get the gist of, most people would know at this stage, I mean the media kind of leaked these things before it even happens. But okay, so it looks like the hospitality sector are going to be closed from 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And I spoke only last week to the LVA, who told me that this was mental torture for their members and for their staff and everything else. It looks like inter-county travel, which was only open back up on the 18th, is going again from Boxing Day. So you'd be no visiting your friends outside the county after that. Family gatherings, i.e., you know, people visiting your home, will be reduced again. In other words, we're going back into a level 5 lockdown, literally probably from Stephen's Day. I mean, we've just come out of practically a level 5 with the exception of the schools being open. And it doesn't seem to have made any difference. So is it a case, as Albert Einstein says, keep doing something, expecting a different result?
Well, to be honest, I think one of the reasons why the results weren't achieved from the last level 5 lockdown was, I think, to be honest, that compliance is reducing every time we have a lockdown. So compliance in March and April was very, very high and brought the numbers right down. I think second time around, people were of the view that, well, listen, this isn't having the same the big impact health-wise that was promised. And also, I've got a life to live here, so compliance is less. And as a result, the figures didn't fall to where they were expected to fall. And to be honest, I think it's going to be very, very hard to achieve the same level of compliance on personal behavior this time around. But what's going to happen is the same level of negative impact is going to happen to people's income. And we're pushing people into poverty at a fierce rate here. We're going to have a debt rate in this country, which is about 200% of GNI, which is basically twice the size of our the income that's generated as a nation every year. This debt will exist. And it'll bring people's individual debt. This is the national debt individually, which is about €42,000 per person at the moment. It'll bring that up to about €47,000 per person at the moment. And then what you're going to have is you're going to have 3 to 4 years of austerity here. You're going to have a replication of what happened in 2011, 2012, and 2013. Because the European Union are going to say, listen, guys, you've got to get your deficits back at under 3% on an annual basis, which will mean a radical reduction in the level of spending and a significant increase in the level of tax, which is itself going to push people into fierce further difficulty, which will have its own health effect over the next
some economists reckon so far 80 billion. That's including lost taxes for next year's revenue as well, obviously, because taxes for this year will be paid next year. So some economists believe up to 80 billion. That has to be paid back at some stage. And, you know, that money didn't just fall out of the sky. So that has to be paid back, which is going to affect probably the next generation of people living in this country. But in relation to what's happening today, for example, at the cabinet meeting, I mean, there was a time when we had opposition in government, where we had, you know, people who would argue, and I've even seen it actually last week, they had a vote in the UK, obviously, against Boris Johnson. Unfortunately, the vote went through. But still, there were, you know, TDs, MPs who stood up and said, we don't agree with this. We have to look at the social aspect of the social impact of this. Because health, by the way, is not just about physical health. It's also about mental health, and it's also about social health of society. But are we seeing any opposition, with the exception of yourself and maybe people like Michael McNamara, etc.? Are we seeing much opposition, Pater, to what the government is saying?
Well, I would agree with you. I think there's a bubble here between media and between politics. Now, there's a few great exceptions with regard to media and a couple of exceptions with regard to politics. But in the main, most of the political media establishment is occupying exactly the same space. You know, we in AIM2 are of the strong belief that Ireland doesn't do diversity of views. Ireland has been cursed with groupthink. You know, whether it's 1950s Ireland, where everybody, you know, did exactly the same thing, whether it's the crash, just before the crash, where everybody believed the house prices were always going to increase and that nothing could go wrong, or now, you know, there isn't space for diversity of views. If you raise an opposing view, a logical, well thought out, researched opposing view. If you even say statements like Leo Varadkar doesn't believe there's any excess deaths this year, or at least in this winter.
We discussed that with Graham Leary last week, that he actually said it on prime time.
He said that in prime time, exactly. Yeah. But even saying that sentence, people will kind of look at you and go, God, you must be a conspiracy theorist, because your sentence does not chime with the accepted reality that we hear through the media and through the political establishment.
Well, that's almost like a form of one-sided brainwashing, isn't it? When you have a national broadcaster like RT, and I watched the Claire Byrne show last night, and actually Dustin the Turkey probably made the most sense on the whole show when he turned around and said, where's Luke O'Neill? He hasn't been on in over 8 minutes on RTE. I mean, it does suggest to us that there is one side of the debate, and there needs to be the other side of the debate, but we're not hearing the other side of the debate, really, are we?
But the only way that you can actually come to the truth is that whatever reality that the state or the media portray is that you have a group of people who are testing and pushing and challenging it with facts, figures, and science. If you don't allow for that testing, by definition, you have an untested narrative which then becomes accepted throughout society. And that's one of the reasons why AIM2 actually formed in the first place. It's because we were so sick of the fact that this country has been ruined by herd mentality and groupthink for generations.
I mean, finally in relation to it, and of course we're waiting for Micheál Martin to make his statement, but it does look like the hospitality sector once again are going to be hit the hardest. They're going to be closing Christmas Eve. When I look at the figures that were given out by the government last week in relation to outbreaks around the country up to week 48, I mean, it does seem like, you know, that particular sector, the public houses, the restaurants and cafes, they actually have the lowest rate. One of the lowest rates of outbreaks. I'm looking at restaurant cafes, 42 outbreaks. This is since March, by the way. Public houses, 23. When we compare that with, say, the private house of 7,123 or residential institutions of 283 or nursing homes of 354. I mean, personal grooming services, i.e. barbers and hairdressers, 5 outbreaks since March, yet the government are going to close them again. I mean, what is the reason for the logic behind, I can't go into a restaurant with 10 people sitting down responsibly, maybe getting up to go to the Jacks every now and again, but I can run around Pennies, because it looks like they're not going to close non-essential retail, but I can run around Pennies, you know, lifting up items with thousands of people there.
There's no sense of whatsoever. And at the start of this, the government said, we will be led by science. And
doesn't seem that way.
The science has completely indicated that the incidence of this illness is happening in most sectors outside of the hospitality sector. Now, there have been some hospitality organizations in the last week or so
who haven't
been doing it right. Yeah. But I got my hair cut there a week ago, and the barber actually said he rang the HSC to ask them to come out and do some kind of a test or some kind of, you know,
an assessment of his safety checks. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
A check, and they're not doing it at the moment. So reality would have been that if there were like a few small rotten apples in the barrel, the government should have tackled that rather than wiping out the whole sector. But if you ask me, the governments have literally put the weight of this battle on the shoulders of the people. You know, 18 billion euros extra provided in the last budget, and there's been no increase in ICU beds. And ICU beds are where this battle is actually at. Hospital beds is where this battle has been at. You know, nursing homes, that's another front line of this battle. And yet we know from what happened in the Galway nursing home just in October that the HSC still hasn't got its act together with regards to nursing homes. Travel, the illness came into the country on an airplane. You know, right through this whole process, the government hasn't even minded to make sure that people coming into the country, you know, are adhering to the laws. And you have this situation where people are flying into Belfast now and traveling south.
That's because there's a lack of, well, I mean, look, those two are like two chickens with their heads cut off up there, but there's a lack of communication. I mean, and Robin Swan of the North said, why didn't the government of Ireland, i.e. Micheál and Leo, etc., communicate and say, listen, we're going to cancel the flights from tonight at 12 o'clock before they told the general public this. Do you want to do something similar? And communicate with them instead of just doing it and then expecting them to react.
There has been no communication. I asked the Taoiseach in the Dáil how many times has the Taoiseach or his department met with his northern counterparts, and as of November, it was 6 times in total since March 21st. That's not an island operating together in this. So there is clever things that the government can do to reduce the incidence of this and to reduce risk, But it's not doing that. Instead, it's putting all of the pressure on this battle on the shoulders of the Irish people. And to be honest, many people can't take it anymore.
I've just got the actual cabinet agreement here. By the way, maybe you haven't heard yet either, Patter. But just to let people know, people can travel beyond the county until the end of Stephen's Day. People allowed to stay where they are at that point until returning home, but no new inter-county travel after that date. Visits from just one other household are allowed after the 27th. Restaurants and gastropubs to close at 3 p.m. Travel restrictions from Britain will remain in place until after December the 31st. No household mixing allowed from January the 1st. Hairdressers to close on Christmas Eve. A number of wedding guests to be reduced to 6 from January the 2nd. Oh my, that's bad news for a lot of people who booked their weddings. Restrictions to be reviewed on January the 12th. So this is with us till at least January the 12th. Worship to move online from December the 26th. Government to engage with shops not to hold big sale events. In other words, there'll be no January sales. And also hotels will close all non-essential bookings after December the 26th. So if you're booked to go away for the 27th or 28th and it's not essential travel, your hotel is probably going to cancel your booking. It's quite shocking, isn't it?
It's absolutely incredible. And again, you know, religious worship there was another sector which was really far down the list with regards to the incidence of the illness originating from churches or mosques or synagogues.
But you know what the most shocking part of this, Potter, is that I told you that, and I'm not, no disrespect to you, but you should know that before everybody else.
Absolutely. But there's no communication happening here from the government to the opposition parties. This is, on the hoof, yo-yo politics. This is basically the government deciding the future as far as they can see for 7 to 10 days. After that, they have absolutely no plan to this whatsoever.
Well, certainly after the 12th anyway, because they're not going to change anything up until the 12th of January, so people are kind of stuck with this till the 12th. Listen, Padre, I've run out of time.
We will keep fighting this.
Absolutely. Padre, listen, thank you very much indeed. Ain't Two's Padre, Toby, and thank you very much indeed for coming on the air.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.